This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
We must guard against the military-industrial complex.
Exopolitics, paranormal phenomena, and deep analysis of current world events from somewhere in the desert between Area 51 and Roswell, blasting across the planet, the Manticore Network proudly presents Veritas, because the truth will set you free.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
The power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty!
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Sooner or later, though, you always have to wake up.
Be skeptical, but don't close your mind.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of Veritas, alternative media for discerning minds. I'm your host, Mel Fabregas, and I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And if this is your first time, make yourself at home. I want to thank all our members for your loyalty and support. And after our last show, we received a lot of requests for another interview, and today, he is back. Tonight's special guest is George Kavassalas, with part two of our journey home. Apparently, there was so much more to discuss. George Kavassalas will be with us shortly. To listen to tonight's full show, become a member. Just go to our website, veritasshow.com, click on the subscribe button, and receive instant access. Don't wait any longer. For only $7.95 per month, you can listen to all of our material, hundreds of hours in CD audio quality, and take Veritas with you wherever you go. And also Veritas TV. And in the next few days, speaking of Veritas TV, I will be uploading a few interviews recorded at my last eSETI visit. One is with professional videographer and one of my favorite UFO documentarians, John Kelly, where he'll demonstrate all of his equipment as we film UFOs at eSETI. Also, I had the pleasure of meeting Regina Meredith and her husband Scott from Conscious Media Network. I will also upload a conversation she and I had about our journeys and our respective projects. A very interesting and candid conversation. I really enjoyed it and look forward to sharing all of this and more with you. And visit the Veritas store, where you can purchase our 8GB USB drives with seasons 1 or 2 with bonus material, or even MMS. What is MMS? Go to the past shows. Do yourself a favor. Listen to Jim Humble's interview entitled Jim Humble versus the FDA. And if you need to get in touch with me, click on the contact button of our website and also join me on Facebook. Did you know that there is now scientific proof showing that solar flares are transmuting carbon-12 atoms into carbon-7? Carbon-12 is the most abundant form of carbon, accounting for about 99% of all known forms of carbon. It is the isotope of carbon that consists of 6 protons, 6 electrons, and 6 neutrons. 666. Does that sound familiar? We are now at the very threshold of the most significant shift humanity has ever experienced. It is the time for all the secrets to be revealed. Now the Earth has spoken through signs. Is Comet Elenin really a comet? Why is it changing speed and course? Is the Earth cabal operating from the Moon and Mars? Why was the Moon placed here? To remove harmony from planet Earth? For answers to these and many more questions, George Kavassalas is coming up next. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Veritas. Don't go anywhere.
This is Barbara Hand Clow, and you're listening to Veritas.
George Kavassalas has had an incredible variety of experiences, including traveling up through the dimensions of our universe and rediscovering what life here on this planet is all about. It is more significant than you are led to believe. George shares his knowledge and wisdom gained over a lifetime of extraordinary experiences, including meeting and interacting on and off-world with many different ET races, both benevolent and malevolent. George shares his comprehensive understanding of the ascension process and the two main phases of our DNA's transformation into Homo Illuminus, or human, or more correctly, God-man. And directly from Victoria, Vancouver Island, British Columbia, Canada. As he starts his North American tour, I would like to welcome George Kavassalas back to Veritas. Hello, George, and welcome back. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Mel. Oh, gee, it's great to be with you. I really enjoyed our last discussion, and I got a lot out of it myself. I learned a lot, and it's just an honor and a pleasure to be talking life with you once again.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine. I'm very excited because it seems that we left so much unanswered back then, and we have so many questions. But before we started, and by the way, you just arrived in Canada yesterday because you're starting your tour, right? Tell us a little bit more about the tour that you're going to be starting soon.
Yeah, it was a big trip and a little bit jet lagged, but I'm sure I'll be fine. I go in a different energetic space when I do this, because more of me becomes present. So, I won't feel the jet lag effects as much. And it's very exciting because this part of the world has just been, especially Canada, I've been wanting to come to Canada all my life. So for me, on a personal level, it's very exciting. I really feel the vibration of the land here and enjoy the natural environment very much. And also excited about meeting great people. You really, that's the one thing about the journey I'm on. I get to meet some fantastic people, and going into the States as well, very excited about that because there's, the energetic patterns of the US at the moment, it's really interesting times of the way that country is evolving, and it's transmutational processes for me. It's metamorphosis. It's playing a big role, and there are certain characters, you have a movie and there are certain characters that play a more significant role than others. And collectively, I'd say when you look at on the global scale, if you look at countries as personalities and as characters in a movie, then from that perspective, then America is one of the main actors in this movie we are on the planet.
Well, and we seem to be getting ready to press a reset button over here. But yeah. Before we started our discussion, you mentioned Saturn. And I want to talk about this right from the beginning, because recently I spoke to another guest about the peculiarities of Saturn. What do you want to tell us about Saturn?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people discussing it now. I mentioned it to a lot of friends quite a few years ago, and you know, I focused in the last few years on more the lower vibrational levels of control, which have to do with the Moon and the Mars, and linking back to the Orion Nordics, and that's one arm, that's one branch of this intergalactic cabal, and that's you know, for beings who are on a particular vibrational pattern, you know, more in the scientific realms and more in even though extraterrestrial, even using really high level technologies, there's still that vibrational energetic arm of this cabal, and the energies that of control that stream in through that are more physically physical in nature, even though they use, well, it depends on your definition of what physical is, I suppose, because of the technology that they're using, that the way they go about it via genetic manipulation and mind control programs, and the types of mind control programs. I mean, it's how they are infiltrating into our psyche, the levels, the vibrational levels of the human psyche that they're infiltrating and manipulating. So when it comes to Saturn, it's a different kind of control. It's a much more sophisticated level. It's much higher. It's the in our solar system, it's the archetype of the Great White Brotherhood. So you're talking about, when you're talking about duality, you've got the negative side of the scales. Well, exactly across from that, and the equal opposite and alter ego of the dark is the white positive, what we call the white positive love and light energy. So, you know, it's exactly on across from it. And a lot of the positive white love and light energies and beings that occupy that domain in the universe kind of see themselves as though they are above the negative, and they're not. They're across from it. And so the realms which I'm basically, and the perspectives that I'm coming from, is if you take both of those energetic expressions and you blend them into one, then that version of love and light is different. It's coming from beyond the arena and the domains of the version of duality that we are experiencing here in these lower domains of the universe. And so the what's really fascinating is about the rings of Saturn. So if you really closely look at the rings, to feel and to think that they are a natural occurring anomaly, I would say people need to look at them just a little bit closer, and you will see that they're actually by design. There's a lot of things, people just got to look at the Moon in a very simplistic, in a very logical, in a very rational manner, and in a very simplistic way, and by just observations, as you and I discussed before. If you look at the Moon and its behavior, its characteristics, the way it spins on its axis, the way it's positioned to perfectly block out the sun in an eclipse, the way it's synchronized with the reproductive cycles, or the menstrual cycles of the feminine, the way its craters only go to a certain depth, so it's really like dimples on a golf ball. You know, there's just so many anomalies with the Moon. You're just going to go, well, what are the chances, you know?
Right.
And that's a great, great quote that you said in our discussion, and I'm using it quite a lot, because it is, what are the chances? And then if you take that same approach now and you apply that approach, you know, because, you know, going back to the Moon, it's so obvious that that is by design. It's been specifically placed in that orbit, and it's serving a purpose. So if people want to think, continue to think that that is a naturally occurring body, then they really need to rethink their mindset. They've got to really ask the question, why do I want to continue to believe that the Moon is a naturally occurring thing? So when you approach now that same concept, and you just with logic, with reason, rationality, and common sense, and you know, you let go of belief systems and you just approach the rings with the same mindset, you could say mindset, but even beyond the mind, you just, from an organic essence point of view and you look at it and you go, okay, look at those rings. They are so perfect. And each set of rings is made up of a different substance. And you think, okay, so what is the functionality of those rings? What is their purpose? Why would someone so specifically place these kind of rings there in the way they have been placed? Because there is evidence that exists now that these rings are being created. There is also evidence that there was rings there and some rings have now disappeared. So why? What are these rings doing? And one person came out with the idea that they could be like a receiving, like a radar dish that receives signals. I'm going to present my understanding of what the rings are, and I got this from my own consciousness, from my own intuitive connection to the energetic patterns of our solar system and the consciousness of Saturn itself and the consciousness of the solar system. And when you look at those rings, they're actually like tuning rings. So what they're doing is, if you look at the archetype of Saturn and who and what he is and the consciousness of the planet and the actual vibrational patterns of Saturn and the being of Saturn, what he is, who he represents, his behavior of this energy of self-righteousness, this energy of judgment. And then you look at our religions and you look at this God construct matrix. And then you look at, and I'm talking about the creator of the universe, I'm talking about the religious God deities now. And then you look at these sort of archetypal behavioral patterns. And then you look at the fact that there's a struggle going on between the sun, which is a fractal of the creator, creative consciousness of the universe. And then you have a look at there's other archetypal force that's going on that wants himself to claim to be the creator of all things, hence a religious deity. Then, you know, you've got to look at the structure in our solar system because, you know, for us to be entertaining those ideas, for us to be living those concepts, for us to actually be experiencing these religious dogmatic constructs, then there has to be the foundational energetic templates to facilitate that in our environment for us to have that experience. So when you look at the way a solar system is constructed, so beings can have incarnational experiences within those domains, within those realities. So you've got to look at it from the point of view, okay, so what is it in our solar system that is actually facilitating those energetic patterns? And it's Saturn. And those tuning, those rings are actually like tuning rings, like a tuning fork for a musician, you know. And what they're doing is creating harmonics within our solar system, and through these harmonics, it's calibrating, it's adjusting. It's kind of like this entity of Saturn is trying to take control of the solar system, you know, and it's trying to take that control away from the consciousness of the sun. Now I'm talking about the battle that's going on a cosmic level, you know. You've got to get out of just the human drama and you've got to look at this from a much greater picture. Because if you understand that every planet is a being, every star is a being, every galaxy is a being, then you understand that there's a whole lot of cosmic dramas that are at play as well on all these different levels of life. And, we've gone straight into the big stuff here, Mel. So when you look at what Saturn is actually doing, those rings play a very, very, very important role.
I have to mention a couple of people. I don't know if you've heard of the name Dr. Norman Bergram, but he used to work with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And then in the 80s, he wrote a book, an excellent book, very scientific, called The Ringmakers of Saturn. He took the actual pictures from the Voyager. They're not digital, that they're what the Voyager brought back. And he came to the conclusion that there are a craft mining those rings. Then a few weeks ago, I interviewed Dr. Angela Thompson-Smith, who's a remote viewing instructor and many other aspects that she deals with. But some people who read that book, Dr. Bergram's book, commissioned her to remote view to see if what Dr. Bergram was saying was right. And her conclusion was also she remote viewed craft mining those rings. It really makes you wonder why. And these craft, George, some of them are hundreds and hundreds of miles long, sometimes even thousands of miles long.
incredible. No, I wasn't aware of that. That is incredible.
So, you know, what you're saying about the tuning part, it makes you wonder if they are putting or removing, as if you're tuning a guitar, you have to, you know, put pressure or less pressure to tune the string. I wonder if that's another. But part of this show, I put some questions forth regarding the 7.83 kilohertz, I believe it's the Schumann frequency of planet Earth. Then you have Jupiter that's emanating 528 hertz, which is the healing frequency. It makes you wonder if every planet, even the moon and others, have specific frequencies of sound to help find a balance throughout the solar system?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, Mel, because it's called the music of the spheres.
Oh.
And you know, each planet has its own radiant frequency. And so if you control, if you're able to not even bend to the notes, do you know what I mean? Let alone totally change the frequency of an object. So let's say it's too hard to actually change the frequency of a planetary consciousness, you know, altogether. Or maybe you can just bend the note a little bit, which alters the harmonics of the solar system. So if you want to alter the consciousness of beings that are on a particular frequency spectrum, let's say our third dimensional spectrum on the planet, then how are you going to go about it, you know? So by placing these rings around Saturn, then you have this fantastic way of controlling the psyche of the human race by altering the harmonics that are coming from Saturn because of the archetypal role that the Saturn consciousness is playing and the harmonics of the emanations of the consciousness of the planet is playing in the human psyche and the role it's playing in the solar system. Because this is all about, you know, creating the environment, not just physically, but energetically as well. Otherwise, we would not have all these archetypal frequencies and archetypal personalities within the human psyche in the solar system.
What about the cloud formations in the North Pole of Saturn? It's a jet stream in the form of a hexagon. Have you looked into that?
I haven't. This is the first I've heard. I think that's incredible.
What are the chances of finding, can we say, sacred geometry in what's supposed to be a natural formation? Well, let's start with some of the questions. Is what you call, and by the way, folks, if you're listening to George on Veritas for the first time, I highly suggest that you also listen to part one. We call it Our Journey Home Part 1. This is Our Journey Home Part 2. But is what you call Our Journey Home, in essence, the liberation of humankind?
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of people talk about the fifth dimension. They see it kind of as a destination, you know, like a physical destination. And In part it is, but most of all, when we talk about different dimensional levels, it has to do with levels of awareness. And therefore, you begin to then understand the concept that it's a state of being. It's a state of beingness. And of course, it physically determines where you end up as well, because it's sort of simply the law of attraction. And so, yeah, it's our journey home. And it's our journey home meaning not just getting on a spaceship and going to another planet and going back to your home race, whereas that is what some people are experiencing and more are about to experience. Excuse me. And so that process is taking place, but it's more to do with, you know, getting out of the domains of the matrixes. And so not only the earthly matrix of control, but also the cosmic matrix of control, because there is a cosmic matrix and people are not being made aware of that, you know, and I'm discussing that on a regular basis. You know, there's a whole bunch of extraterrestrial races out there, thousands and thousands caught up in all these paradigms of awareness and they're stuck in all these cosmic matrixes. You know, so there's the overall cosmic matrix, but you've got all these different bubbles of realities or paradigms of awareness that they have themselves been indoctrinated into, and they have limited awareness of life as well. It's just that, you know, relative to our situation on Earth in current times, you know, coming across an extraterrestrial race with incredible technologies would seem like freedom, you know, but it's not really like that. It's, you know, if I can use the analogy, Mel, it's like you've got an island people, or let's say you've just got a country here who the peoples are, you know, for want of a better term, third world in origin, and they live under a dictatorship. And so you've got these people that have been oppressed and lived in terrible, terrible conditions for such a long time. And then you've got the armies of the United Nations come along and, you know, and not just force, but, you know, through political negotiations and corporate influences and whatever, you know, all these different bodies that are a part of this larger United Nations sort of structure. They come and they're implementing all the different ones. You've got spiritual groups that are coming to this this nation as well, and this poor nation that's under such oppression, under a dictatorship. And all of a sudden, they are freed from this dictator through pressure and over, you know, a systematic approach. And so the people are just think, you know, they're totally free and they live in freedom. And then you've got the people that will represent their people, and they're now standing in the United Nations, and they're doing, you know, what they truly believe is right for their peoples and their country, and that country would be celebrating, and they are standing there in the United Nations, and they are now being welcomed into the global community, and these people feel free. And then the next question to ask is, well, we now know what the United Nations is, so are those people truly free? Well, the answer is no, they're not. They've just gone from a smaller structure to a much larger structure. Even though their playing ground, the area of their playing ground is now grown massively, and they have now access to new technology, so they have more toys to play with, you know.
Right.
Their minds can be entertained much greater through, you know, plasma screens and what have you. So what that's what's going on. If you take that and you now apply it on a much larger scale, that's what's happening with our Earth. Because you've got these other organizations, you know, Galactic Federation of Light, and you've got, you know, Federation Free Worlds, you've got all these other systems that are now communicating and imposing their cultural philosophies, infrastructures, technologies, ideologies onto the human race now as we speak. But my warning to everybody is just don't rush into it. Take a step back and realize that you're just going from one structure to another. Even though it's much greater, it's going to seem like we're free, and it's not. It's not freedom. It's still a limited paradigm of awareness. It's just relative to ours, it's going to seem like freedom. So unfortunately, a lot of people are taking to these other infrastructures like a baby takes to candy, you know, like a child that's been let loose in a candy store. So. Right. It's very, very important that people don't become reactive, because this is all about problem, reaction, solution, like the great man David Icke says. So you've got to apply this not just on a global scale. You've got to realize that this is happening on a cosmic scale as well. So when I talk about freedom, when I talk about going home, our journey home, it actually means going even beyond those paradigms and those versions of duality, but going to, you know, going all the way up into this, as in the state of beingness where you are one with the all. And that's when you're free, you know, that's when you are functioning from your own organic consciousness.
Yes, because here we believe that we are free, but slavery, you know, if we think back to the, you know, 16, 1700s, 1800s, slavery was never abolished. It was transformed into the 9-to-5 matrix. And what we see now is more voluntary servitude.
Exactly. Very well put, Mel.
So I hear you say that this planet belongs to all of us. But isn't it the other way around, George? We belong to the planet?
It's a symbiotic relationship. It works both ways, Mel. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, that's very well said. But when I said it belongs to all of us, it's from the point of view of, you know, the collective human soul. I mean, this is what it's really all about. Is all of us together prior to our earthly human experience, and even beyond our fourth dimensional cosmic, you know, and galactic consciousness levels of consciousness, we agreed together, you, me, everyone else is on this planet, our souls, our spirits, our essences made an agreement that we would collectively come to this planet at this time together. And have this experience. And, you know, this is about the relationship that the collective human soul, the collective human spirit has with this incredible planet we call our Earth Mother. I mean, you know, together we are taking this journey in space and time together, and she is facilitating an incredible range of experiences for us. And she's sacrificed a lot to be able to do that.
and you're to have been abducted more times than you can count. In many occasions, you were left with visible marks. Did you ever go to doctors? And if so, what did they say? And did they do the usual refer you to a psychiatrist?
Oh, yeah. That's the program.
Right.
Even friends say that. Even family says that, you know. You need help. I get emails of people saying that. I still get emails, and very elaborately written emails. I really respect the way these people have expressed themselves, that I definitely am delusional and need help. But, you know, I've gotten emails from people who work with the mentally ill saying that, I show no signs of delusion in the way that I've expressed myself. They've studied me greatly. There's even people organizing for me to do a lie detector test. I'm more than happy to do that. You know, have I been to Mars? Absolutely, I have. You know, I'm more than happy to do that. So there's no dramas there, Mel. It's just that people don't understand where they're coming from. I mean, you know, what they're doing is they're just coming from a place within their mind which is a part of the status quo. It's I just call them border patrol guards, psychiatrists, psychologists, and the majority of the scientists on our planet are border patrol guards. They are defenders of their paradigm, and it's just religion in another form. That's all it is.
Well, I see it as, if we go back to 1492, Christopher Columbus, if he had taken that trip, that journey on his own, by himself, and he started discovering all these new islands, which, by the way, were not discovered. I mean, we had the indigenous people already here. Everybody knows what I'm saying.
But the notion that we've made all these discoveries is absurd.
Exactly. But I'm just trying to put a metaphor. Let's say he came alone and he went back to the Spanish kingdom and said, I found all this stuff. Nobody would believe him because that would not be within anybody's paradigm, right?
Mm, that's right. That's how it is for me. I've often used that analogy. I've often likened myself to Columbus, you know, having... I say to people, you know, I've traveled these shores, meaning the planet.
The planet is not flat, after all.
Yeah. That's what I say to people, you know. I mean, and they go, oh, George, you talk about ETs. You talk about little green men, you know, on the moon. Like, come on, what are you talking about? Sure, you're not, you know, you're not having a day off from the funny farm just to come out and tell us these things.
Right.
Well, you know, I didn't just get a day pass, you know. No, it's not like that. It's... people just don't understand that life is really big, and they don't understand just how deep the trance is that the human race is in. I mean, we've been dumbed down really, really good. And truth is stranger than fiction, and reality is much grander. The scope of what exists in our universe is so much greater than people's capacity to actually deal with. So, you know, if people want to continue to think they're alone in the universe, I say to people now, I say, you know, you're accusing me of being deluded. Well, you know, this universe is so big. It's full of life. The evidence for extraterrestrial life is all around you. You can't see it. So go and stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself, why do I want to continue to propagate an insane and deluded notion that we are all alone in this universe?
Right.
People need to ask themselves that. Why? You know, and they have the arrogance to call me deluded. I mean, it is totally deluded and insane. And the height of arrogance to think that, you know, they are the only ones in the entire universe. That's just absurd.
You have no idea how many times I repeat that phrase. It's the height of arrogance to stand at night and look up and see the billions of stars and say that we are alone here. But why do you think you have been abducted so many times? Did they ever give you the answer to what your purpose was?
Well, you know, individual beings never did, but certainly over time a pattern emerged. And what I worked out in the last decade was that they tried to stop me from speaking out. And there was a day that I was going to do that, that I was going to take this path that I'm on now and share this greater wisdom with the world. And so because all the experiences that I've had, you know, I haven't had just negative ones. I've had some wonderfully beautiful experiences. And especially, you know, that one about going up into the universe with my consciousness, that was just truly amazing. To have had that and have that point of reference. So, you know, that was a journey that went well beyond the paradigm of the cosmic matrix. So, you know, this is beyond the paradigm of religious deities. They're stuck, down in the fourth dimension. Sure, they're at the higher levels of the fourth dimension, but they're still down in the fourth dimension and the cosmic arena on those levels. So, you know, those beings are terrified. They're frightened of people actually being released from their the paradigms of awareness that they have constructed, because, you know, the human race accesses more life force than any other being than any other race in the universe. So, you know, when we worship a deity, they get fed more power than they've ever been fed. So we are their greatest resource. So they're going to do everything in their power to try and stop people like me from speaking out. And yes, they have tried to take me out, but there's this thing called universal law, L-O-R-E, not L-A-W. And with universal law, L-O-R-E, there's the natural unfoldment of life. It's just way life is, you know, unfolds with its intentions organically. And that is more powerful than LAW, because LAW is a synthetic authoritarian overlay over the natural order of things. And that is what's being constructed by these deities. So universal law, LRE, is far more powerful, and it has to do with grace, and it has to do with flow and natural unfoldment of the intention of the creator and the co-creative intentions of all the souls that are working in conjunction with the creator to manifest their experiences. So, you know, I have an intended outcome on this life's journey, and that is how it's going to be, and that's with universal L-O-R-E. So no one can alter that, because that is the intention from that comes from the higher levels of my essence and the universe. So, you know, it's understanding our own journey. That's why you, Mel, haven't perished in a car accident, because you're meant to be doing this work. You know what I mean? So you're still around. I'm still around. Others are still around. And they can't take us out, because we've got our life's journey to complete.
Well, as my friend Dr. Rauni Kilde from Norway says, there is no death. And if the powers that be knew that the people would find that truth, that no matter how many times we die, it's just a vehicle. We just change vehicle. We go from one room to another. But here's some historical perspective for the listeners. You lived in a small town growing up, in a countryside town, earlier in life. You went to a small town doctor and told him about what was going on with you, the abductions. Did he ever mention to you that, you know, that other people were going through the same thing? And those are the ones only. The ones that were reported or came to the doctor. But what about the ones that didn't go to the doctor or didn't report it? Did you go through this?
Yeah, I did. And I'll just clarify that I actually was born in Sydney. So when those experiences happened that way was when I had already moved out of Sydney, and I was living in a more of a small rural area. So that was that's the way that happened. I actually grew up in Sydney and spent 3.5 years in Gießen in Germany as well when I was a toddler. So okay. I just want to say, yeah, it happened around 10 years ago, and I was living in a rural area outside of Adelaide, and I went to my local doctor to show my doctor these marks that I was getting and to talk about my experiences, because I was just in a really bad way emotionally, because I was being tortured really viciously at that point in time in my life, over and over again, week after week, and I was just breaking as a person. They're just breaking me. And so I reached out, and of course I got guided to go to see the psychiatrist and the psychologists. And but the doctor did impart with me, yes, that I'm one of five others, and you're talking about a population of a few hundred, that there were five others who were experiencing the same things that I was. And I had people come to me personally and tell me their experiences that hadn't gone to this doctor. So I knew of others who are having them in the area, and I think that's quite fascinating. The percentage of people having these experiences is much greater than we know.
And that's the incredible part, because if you go to the doctor and they refer you to a therapist, but yet the same doctor has seen other people with the same condition, obviously it's either everybody has a mental problem or something is there tangible, but they cannot explain it. And when science cannot explain it, or when the doctor cannot explain it, then maybe they attribute it to a mental condition. That's the part where many people who walk with their faces down in this world, George, people who have been abducted in a negative way, they don't know who to go. They don't know who to talk to, because the fear of ridicule, the fear of being considered mental is what eats them inside, and they just walk alone.
Yeah, because we're swimming inside a program which is trying to influence us to be a certain way. And, you know, when we have these experiences that are going beyond that paradigm, you know, you've got this conflict that goes on, a war happens inside of you, because constantly your mind is barraged by the mental matrix, the mind matrix program, saying that you're deluded, that you're crazy. And then you've got psychiatrists and psychologists that verify that, that compound that concept. And then you've got the struggle going on, because inside of it, you know what you experienced. And so you've got constantly these people trying to brainwash you and to make you believe that you're actually deluded or crazy,
right,
when they themselves are the ones who are, regurgitating a mind control program that they're inside of. So, you know, the irony of it all is just astounding.
And here's some deep questions. Now, you mentioned in our last interview that the veil will be lifted soon, that people will, quote unquote, remember soon who they are. What will be the kicker or the event that starts the greatest cascade of a global awareness blowing open? It appears, given how much people in the Western world are now realizing the massive Ponzi scheme that is the global markets, that the pending economic crash might be the means for many people to wake up.
Yeah, it's great that you put it that way too. I'm glad you asked that. The veil is already in the process of lifting. And that's what the word apocalypse means. Apocalypse means to reveal or revealing. And if you break it down into three Greek words, because that's a Greek word, apocalypse is apokalypsihi, which means from the good spirit. So you're talking about revealing of the truth, and the truth coming from the good spirit. So I think that word is totally used wrongly, you know, because they talk about apocalyptic times, and they mix the word apocalypse with Armageddon.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's same as the Lucifer-Satan thing, you know. anyway, we won't go into that. apocalypse is looked upon as though it's really dark and evil and negative. So, and it's not. It's a wonderful thing. It's about the veil lifting and humanity reconnecting with their true essence and with the truth of life in the universe and beyond. So, there's something that's coming soon, Mel, and I wanted I'm really glad you asked that, because I really did want to discuss this with you. And that is, if you look back at 9/11 and you look back at all the other main events that have transpired, whether it's, you know, communism, terrorism, there's always been the boogeyman, there's always been something to try and get people to be afraid of, that repetitive program. It just comes over and over. It's just that it's the same program, but with a different flavor to it each time. And, I say to people, let's not let the next one surprise us. Let's all just start talking about it now. Let's all of us just take a step back and go, okay, you look back at 9/11 and you go, that was a good one, because the technology is different. You see, they've got more clever mind control techniques now. They've got very, very advanced technology that they're using. And the last one was the announcement of Bin Laden being shot.
Sure.
Right? That was the last real major insurgence of
PSYOP.
A PSYOP surge. It was like, because, you know, we're swimming in a constant PSYOP program, but you've got surges, energetic surges in that program that happen every now and then to really, it's kind of like you've got something like a boat going in a particular, you know, way, and you want to change direction. Well, you run up to the bow and you kick it, you know, and you hit it with force just to nudge it, you know, so now it goes in another direction or more into the direction you want it to go. And that's what these energetic or shall I say surges within the mind matrix are doing, and they're steering humanity. Humanity's being funneled down a particular road, down a particular path, the human psyche. And that's what they're doing with these surges of these, you know, global PSYOP programs. And the next one, the label I'm using is a pending global mind control event. And I tell people it's time to wake up and realize what's about to transpire. Yes, we're constantly in one, but wait for the next surge, because the next one is going to be massive. It's actually, 9/11 was a pretty good one. I always give credit where it's due, and I think they did a pretty good job with that. And they got the most For a while there, they had virtually most of the global population, you know, in like putty in their hands. The awareness, the attention and the awareness and the psyche of the human race was like putty in their hands for a little while. You know, the recent one was just like nothing. It was barely did anything, really. So what they've realized now is our consciousness is evolving at a very great rate, and they need to come up with the next one that's going to be massive, because, you know, whether it's going to be World War III or an attempt to create it, whether it's going to be a nuclear detonation somewhere, whether it's going to be a fake alien invasion, whether it's going to be Comet Elenin, whether it's going to be brown dwarf, whether it's going to be a religious deity, for me, doesn't matter what it is, okay? If you don't get caught into the drama of the flavor of the event, right, don't focus on what the flavor is going to be, but focus on the fact that there is going to be an event, then you can actually approach it and say, you know what, you know, hang on a minute. You know, every time we've had one of these major events, they've tried to influence the human psyche, and they've tried to brainwash the human psyche into thinking a certain way, into believing that these events are, you know, propagated or formulated from a certain ideology or by a certain group, when it's part of a greater plan. So if people can say, okay, straight away, there's an event occurring, it's big, it's affecting the whole world, then they can just detach from it and say, I'm not going to allow the rhetoric that, because it's going to be a barrage. This is going to be huge. You're going to get TV screens, radio radio waves. You're going to get newspapers. You're going to get every form of media we have. This is just going to pour out of every channel, of every avenue, and it's just going to be an onslaught onto our psyche. So if you can approach it like you've got two friends that are having an argument, are you going to allow them to suck you into that argument? Or are you going to say, you know what, that's between you guys, I don't want to be a part of that?
Well, so that's why you see a lot of the, at least in the United States, they've been giving away the digital boxes so that everybody, even those who cannot afford the boxes, can have it. And I presume it's because they want to be able to have everybody connected. Because you know what, George, this script has been written and it's for public consumption. And I see this all the time. During the 60s, President Kennedy was given the report from Iron Mountain, which said, Mr. President, in order to keep the economy going, we always need to have a threat over our heads. And at the time, we had communism. But once communism was over, the next one was going to be terrorism. And after that was over and people wouldn't buy it anymore, nobody buys that Osama bin Laden was found dead. This is just another fairy tale. But after that, a celestial object or a global catastrophe coming. And after that, the last one, an alien invasion to finally unite the world. And if you go back to the year 1999 or 2000, they wrote the Project for a New American Century that said we need a catalyzing event, another Pearl Harbor, to get us into the war mode again. So they've been telling us all of this, but you talk to people about them, they think that this is just absurd, and you are just a subversive person, or you're agitating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this isn't about creating a new world order. On one level, it looks like it is, but it's bigger. It's bigger than that. This is about harvesting the human herd.
Mm.
So this is much greater. And I want to now go into the next phase of this, because, you know, this next pending global mind control event, what it's going to be, you know, it doesn't matter. Like I said, is it going to be Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, Plan D? You know, they've got a number of cards up their sleeve. Which card they want to play, I don't know. But I know the cards that they've got. But I just don't know which card they want to play. That's what I don't have access to. I wish I did.
So what are the cards? What are the cards?
Well, one of them's a fake alien invasion.
Yeah.
That's a big one on the cards, because, you know, you got to capture the psyche of the global population. So it has to be a subject matter that's going to affect everybody. Because, you know, the terrorist thing, well, that's worn thin now, because, you know, I've been traveling the world, and I assure you, you go to Greece, you go to other countries, and they view America very differently from what you're led to believe. They see through the BS of the rhetoric of 9/11. They always saw through it, and it was only the governments that believed it or tried to propagate it. But when you go to countries like that, the population, the masses, you'd be surprised how the people of Greece, how the people of other countries just see through the BS. You know, for us inside the Western world in Australia and England and America, these main three countries, you know, because our propaganda is so strong, feeding those ideologies to the masses, for us to see through the 9/11 lie is kind of a bit of a revelatory sort of experience, you know. But you got to realize that there's other countries who just looked at it and went, what a load of crap, you know. And I'm talking the majority of the masses of the people. They you know, when someone over there talks about, it wasn't a bunch of Arabs that actually flew those planes into the buildings, you know, from some terrorist organization. It was actually preordained by, you know, a collaboration of different, secret organizations with different countries involved. Because, you know, this is a global elite event, right? There's much more to it than people realize. Then they just went, man, this was pre-organized. This wasn't just some little terrorist group that did this. I mean, this was massive. So, yeah, it's, you know, what I want to say is, Mel, is whatever event plays out, whatever it's going to be, you've got to look at what is the biggest mind control program on the planet at the moment. What has more people controlled mentally than anything else on the planet? What would that be?
Religion.
1 billion Christians, more than 1 billion. 2 billion Islamists, right? People of Islam. Easily over 1 billion Hindus. Like, let's really, really look at the greatest mind control programs on the planet. That has to be religion. There isn't anything that's more controlling besides, you know, okay, materialistic greed. The dollar's becoming, you know, God for a lot of people. It already has, but it still doesn't stack up against religion. So there's a program that works. It's worked throughout the ages. It still works today for the majority of the population of the planet. So what you got to do is, well, you don't have to, but what I'm doing is, I've got to be careful with my language. I do apologize for that. It's my passion.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's realize that whatever the event's going to be, it's going to have a link to religion. Even if it doesn't appear as though it does in the beginning, you know, problem, reaction, solution. Okay. So even if the event in the beginning doesn't appear that it's got anything to do with religion, eventually it's going to link up, because these deities, these entities out there that are feeding off billions and billions of people, this is the big picture now, okay? You got to get out of the drama and all these little drama vortexes that exist, and you got to look at this from a much, much larger perspective. You've got the biggest mind control programs at the moment. They are there for a reason. Who implemented those? Why do we have them? Why do they exist? It is because you've got off-world entities and interdimensional entities that are feeding off the worship of the people. That is number one. We are their number one resource. These are entities that sit at the top of the tree of many of these paradigms of awareness. They create them. They play gods to many, many races in the universe, in the cosmic arena. Many, many more than people realize. And I tell you now, Mel, whatever plays out is going to link, because these beings are creating the problems. So eventually they can come in and look like they are the solution to people's problems.
Well, the issue is also, if you look at most of the deaths in this world historically have been because of religion. It's, and I hate to offend some people who are religious, because we have plenty of people who listen to us who are, but it's the extreme. It's a virus, and that's what's consuming this world and keeping the separation that we have today.
Very much so. It's divide and conquer.
Yes.
It's, you know, well, you know, Christians saying their God is a true one, and Islamists say their God is a true one.
It's, right.
To me, it's like it's just football teams, you know. Your football team is better than their football team. Yours is the best. It's a tribal sort of, you know, because that's the part of the psyche that they're manipulating. It's the tribal and the wounded child, you know. They're really working on the wounded child psyche. So, you know, this is all about looking at all of this objectively, looking at all of this logically, rationally, realistically, let go of your belief systems, look back on what's transpired over the last, you know, okay, the last decade, the last few decades, and if you can, try and look further back than that, and you will see an obvious program and a chain of events, and it's all designed at the end of the cycle. And I really would like to talk about the Mayan calendar if we could, because I got my take on that. And right at the very end, when things were going to transform on this planet, when they were going to lose grip of the human psyche, then what are they going to do? They have to take people away while they've still got control of them, because if they stay here, as this reality transforms, humanity is transforming, and they're going to lose their human herd, because their herd is waking up. You know, it's like a farmer has got, you know, 6 billion sheep in his paddock, and all of a sudden a sheep wakes up and jumps a fence and is free. And he's going, oh, hang on a minute, I'm losing my resource here, you know? And then another one, and then another one, and then a group of 20 jumps over the fence. And then, you know what I mean? And the herd is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. Well, you know, these guys are farmers. They just farm on a different level. And they are losing control of their herd. So they've come up with these processes and these scare tactics and these programs to harvest as much, because I've interacted with these beings out there on a cosmic level. And not my ego as George, but my greater being has, you know. Mm-hmm. And these beings are coming here, and this is what they've said to me. They're coming here to harvest their human herd. And I'm telling you now, all these plans that we are inside of, all these things that you see, whether it's terrorism, whether it's a fake invasion, whether it's going to be a nuclear detonation somewhere on the planet, because there's a link to the cycle we're in, has a link to nuclear energy. It's very, very powerful what's going on now. So for me, you know, after the new year, I don't see any chance of nuclear detonation, but I will keep it as a viable option between now and the end of the year, okay? So between now and the end of pretty much the end of October into November, around that period of time, for me, that's the area, that's the time frame that I'm concerned about. But yeah, after that, I can't see it happening in the vibrational patterns of the way this reality is evolving. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you.
Because, sure. Yeah. And one more thing about religion, you know, the simple fact that major religions fail to order their followers not to go to war with all the wars we've gone through, but actually promoted their involvement, makes them directly responsible. So it's hypocritical. But before you tell me about the Mayan calendar, because I know you have a lot to say about that, I have to ask you of one of the elephants in the room right now. Can you give us an update on what you know about Comet Elenin?
Yeah. For what I know about Comet Elenin is that for me, it's a distraction. Mm. And it's also a test. For me, the real big guy is coming in behind it. the big red guy that's playing hide and seek at the moment. You see, a lot of scientists say that we can't track it. There's nothing to track. It doesn't exist because we don't see it.
You're the second person to tell me that. I spoke to somebody who does not want to disclose anything, and he's very private, and he's also a contactee, and he told me exactly the same. Don't worry about Ellen and worry about what's coming behind it.
Well, I'll tell you now. A long time ago, I had an experience, and I've discussed this, and I've written about it, and I call it the time of the two moons. The time that when I went into the future, and, you know, because past, present, future exist all at the same time, realistically. Right. And so I had a link with my consciousness into on a future, on this timeline in the future. So it's no big deal, really. Lots of people do it. That's what deja vu is all about, by the way. And so I stood there and I looked up in the sky and I saw two moons in the sky, our moon and a moon that's blood red in color, deep blood red in color. And I knew at the moment I was looking at that, that thing was huge. It was much, much further out. And it was a massive, massive object. But to us, visually, it looked a little bit bigger than our moon. But it, you know, you can imagine how close something like Jupiter would have to be for it to appear about the size of the moon in the sky.
Right.
Get where I'm coming from.
A brown dwarf?
You know, yeah. And see, the point is that I want to make here is that our scientific community is under the total control of these off-world cabals. The type of technology that we've been funneled down, I mean, why are we still being forced to use oil, for example? Yeah. You know, people just don't ask the right questions, you know? Why this type of technology? People just think what we've got is technology. No, we've got a version of technology, which on relative in the universe is so primitive, is so damaging, is so stupid to be using this type of technology, but we're being forced to use it. You know, when you look throughout, we've had all these other types of technologies that people have come up with, but they all get shelved, they all get either assassinated and technology gets hidden, and we're being forced to use this type of technology. Why? You know? And so we're being funneled down a certain path, and the whole scientific world is under this same control. So the type of technology that the paradigm of science is using only allows us, like look for example, when we look at DNA, why can we only see two strands when there's another 10 to be seen?
Right.
Right? So you've got to realize that the type of technology, even carbon dating technology, is rigged, totally rigged. You know, there's departments that exist that I've spoken with people that'll go, if you want a particular outcome to be achieved, and I'll go, bring it to us, we'll test what you want tested. And the questions I ask is, what do you want the results to say? You know, this is the attitude that these organizations have behind the scenes. So, you know, they can go, and we've had a test in this labs and these are results, so that must be the truth, right?
That's right.
That's the games that they play on our psyche. So what I want to say to people is even carbon dating, even the machinery. Look, I was worked in the world of electronics now. You know, you can calibrate chips inside a piece of technology to read the results. You've got to set calibration levels in equipment. You can get a machine to say anything you want. That's the problem with technology.
I'm losing a little bit of your bandwidth, George, but we have to take our one and only break, so it will be a good time to recalibrate so we can gain bandwidth. But when we come back, let's continue what you're saying. And also, I wanted to ask you, here's one reason why I think that Elenin could be a disinformation campaign. You may remember the movie Deep Impact. They also had a comet, Comet Ellie, discovered by someone with the name of Leo. Well, here we have Comet Elenin, discovered by someone named Leo. And as you know, ELE means extinction level event. But tell us once again how to get in touch with your work and all these great appearances you're going to be conducting in Canada and the United States.
Yeah, thanks, Mel. I've got a website called our-journey-home.com. And we're here in Victoria. So we're doing an event here this weekend on Vancouver Island. Then we're doing the following weekend in Vancouver itself. And then we're heading down the Ossetti Ranch. So really looking forward to meeting up with James and all the family down there. And then from there, we're heading over to Chicago and then to Boston. So all that information is available on the website. If they click on events, they'll get all that information.
And you have no idea how much I would want to be there in Ossetti once again, but I just came back and unfortunately I can't make it, but I'll be there in spirit. Folks, don't go anywhere. We have so much more to talk about, and there will be more than 1 hour on the second segment, I guarantee you, because we have so much to discuss with George Cavazos. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Veritas. Don't go anywhere. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to talk more with our special guest in our members section. If you're not a member, just head on over to our website, veritasshow.com, and click on the subscribe link to listen to the rest of the show. As a member, have you subscribed to the iTunes link? Let iTunes download all segments of each new show automatically. There's a link in the members section. Just click on it and let iTunes do the rest. We'll take a short intermission, listen to some music, and we'll be right back with more. Enjoy.
This is Neil Kramer, and you are listening to The Veritas Show.